am now joined on the program by Delaney Davidson. We're here to talk about his newest album, Aotearoa singer-songwriter and visual artist. He returns with Baby Heavyweight, his 11th solo album, building on the smooth depth of his previous record, Out of My Head. This new release sees him enter a realm of storytelling and emotive music, navigating themes of loss, cynicism, love, trauma and heartache, all those good things. The album releases today across streaming and is available for purchase on Bandcamp. Alongside the album, Delaney has announced a 14-date tour around the motu, which we'll get to later on. First of all, let me welcome him to the program. Delaney, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm good, thanks, Lily. How are you doing?
I'm good. We've both had some technical hiccups this morning.
Technical difficulties, God bless them. They're always lurking not too far away. I mean, so much tech these days, you'd be crazy to think it was going to operate without a hitch, right?
I know. You'd think all these bells and whistles that we have, and suddenly you plug something in and it's not working the same way.
Yeah, the bells are belling, the whistles are whistling.
Across your work, you're often dealing with the darker side of life, especially when toying with the human condition and all its delightful contradictions. Why do you think you're so often drawn to that kind of focus?
I don't know. Like, I guess I look at lyrics and I listen to them and I think I want to feel something when I hear them. I love it when I listen to a song and somebody drops a line and it just sort of, something inside you drops into place, like, oh, that person has that feeling, or I don't know, and it can be something heavy, or it can be something light, or just something that catches you the right way. And you know, I've been there before, and there's the obvious ooh baby baby lyrics that we can all do, and then there's finding a little twist on something that's got a bit more connection possibility, and then something not super obvious, you know,
like, yeah,
yeah. So I think I've always loved hearing that in songs, and so I always I'm looking for that when I write my own songs too.
Yeah, and talking about like something that has more possibility, you explore this theme of Lucifer on the record, weaving these tracks together, and the concept of him seeking his own redemption through the decontextualization of his past. What's your personal relationship to that theme been? Is it you yourself seeking redemption, or more broader than that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of did see it as a very personal story, and a lot of people are like, oh, this is just like, especially people who know me in my history, they're like, this is kind of you, right? And I'm like, isn't it all of us? Like, don't we all have stuff in our past that we have these events in our past that we get stuck on. They're like little hooks that some part of us gets caught on, and we're trying to move through our lives into the future, but we're often pulled back to these little events that shaped us, or moments we experienced shame or regret, or some time in our life where we thought, I could have done this better, or I let this person down, or these people were angry with me.
Yeah.
Whatever, and they're really formative experiences. We really feel them deeply, especially as children and especially as people growing up. And so they become part of the sort of shell we wear, you know, they sort of crystallize in some way. And then we get to some point in our life where we're often trying to reassess all those things, and we look for ways to live that doesn't take so much energy to maintain, I guess.
Yeah.
So we look at self-forgiveness and we try and find. I mean, this is pretty broad strokes I'm talking here, but maybe I should say me, because I feel like I've hit a point where I needed to look for new ways to navigate my life and the situations I'm in, because a lot of the old coping mechanisms just didn't work anymore. I felt like they needed updating or definitely a good re-look at them. So in seeing the universality of that theme, I really liked the parable of Lucifer as something we could all relate to. And definitely we do have that trepidation with treating that character. We're all a bit like, oh, I'm not sure. You know, I think he's a symbol for the uneasy side of the dark concepts in life, and when you look at him, he's somebody who thought he was doing all the right things and got thrown out of the family he worked for, and he has this huge pain and anger. And my take on it is that he's reached that point in his life where he's looking for how to move forward and how to find his way out of the pain that he's experiencing.
Yeah. And it's such a, there's so much depth to it. Like you said, broad strokes, but something like that you can go so deep into. And you've got that beautiful lyric on the closing track, Up and Away, "See you at the end of the night, we'll walk into the light." That contrast of light and dark, you kind of mentioned it there. Is that something that I see it lyrically and sonically on the record? What was the process like in terms of creating that sound? Was that something that you went into thinking about, I want the sound of the music to mirror the themes of the lyrics?
Yeah, totally. I mean, originally it was all, we were treating it like a musical.
Ah.
So we tried to, and there's still some hope down the track to bring the story into a bigger context as some kind of dance musical based concept. But we definitely, we took a clock and we put all the songs around the clock face, and we talked about the hero's journey and how you have the call to adventure, and then you have adversity comes up, and then you have these moments where you, the character is at their ultimate low, and that's when they find the key out of their own torment and heartache. And so we really, we looked at mapping out the album in that way, so it would have this real story paradigm, and then definitely organize the track list, obviously, in that way too. But, so some of the angrier moments, Lucifer, when he's just charging around the earth, you know, he's angry, and he's reincarnated as a train, so he represents movement and unstoppable energy and just kind of blind way of living.
The track Death Wish, that one, am I mistaken? I might be making a total fool of myself on live airwaves. But the 1969, is that a reference to Charles Manson?
Yes, very good. Definitely is. That's a reference. So 1969, 2025, that's kind of Charles Manson and Donald Trump. You've got these two insane cult of personality figures.
Yeah.
Obviously, Manson didn't quite have the spread that old mate got. But I think definitely this idea of America being in love with this concept of the death wish, and what in the hell is that, you know, like where are they driving at, and what is it that makes that so appealing, and what is so attractive in that concept that people just seem to wholeheartedly fall into it. You know, it's more than charisma, it's something inside us that it's kind of like the moth, you know, we're drawn to our own destruction. And, I was just trying to, I feel like there's been a few songwriting moments where I've just looked at the similarities in news from back in the day in the 60s or in the 50s to now, and how there's these same devices being used to just terrify people into, I don't even know what, you know, like the idea that you sit on the train in London or in Switzerland or wherever, and you're going to work, and somebody comes and hands out these newspapers, and everybody gets one at the same time. Everyone's on their way to work, and they all read this horrific stuff all at the same time. And you think, what's that doing to like a mentality thing of people?
Yeah.
They all are beaming out this extreme fear, extreme negativity. Yeah, it's
and now it's only turned up to 11.
What's that?
And now it's just turned up to 11. You know, it's not
it's
a newspaper; it's on your phone.
13,
it's, yeah, it's everywhere. It's a constant stream. You don't ever get to turn it off.
Yeah, that's something I was talking about in another interview. We were talking about the idea of the album, as well as being a self forgiveness thing. It's a way of finding a little oasis for yourself. In the world, so that you can at least take time out from that stuff and check in with yourself and go, I mean, people feel guilty for not suffering as much as the world they are seeing.
Yeah.
And people feel extreme guilt, horrific stuff happening in the Middle East, or over time there's been these things, Ethiopia's famine, or a lot of the ethnic cleansing that was happening back in Eastern Europe back in the day, and there's just such awful stuff. And to stay plugged in 24/7 to that, I've witnessed friends of mine just take big falls, they could not stop watching this stuff.
Yeah.
The empathetic side of them is turned against themselves, which is such an awful thing to think, that your own empathy and your own sympathy is something that will undo you.
Oh, totally. I read something somewhere, and it changed the way I think of things a little bit, that if you were to just interact with the people that you come across in your day-to-day life, when you're buying something from a store, or you're on the bus, or, you walk past someone and smile, if that was all you got from the world, you'd only ever really think that the world is a positive place, because you'd see so much less of the horror and the suffering, especially overseas, and you would just think a lot better about the world. But now that's not even an option, really. I mean, it's so hard not to be plugged in, because it makes your life so much harder.
Yeah, I've thought about that for a long time, because it seemed like there's a lot of really crunchy issues we have here in Aotearoa, and people aren't protesting those. the fringe people are protesting those.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, somehow I would love in this album the message to come across that just taking care of your own community and your own environment is a huge start to making so much feel better. And just as a relief from that endless cycle of torment that we feel like we have to stay plugged into, or we deserve to be living in that mentality, like we also deserve a break, and we deserve peace, and we deserve refuge from that stuff too.
No, exactly, totally.
I mean, the converse thing is, there are people who don't have that, and don't have that luxury and that option, and that's horrific life to think of, everybody struggles with something.
Yes, and no one's struggle is bigger than anybody else's in terms of your own life, because you only really feel your struggle, and you're only looking for your redemption.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I'm not sure how that works. I think some people really, obviously there's some massive systemic imbalances that are just people are dealing with. But I mean, I think on a fundamental level, you can't really help other things until you feel somehow settled, So that's the beginning, is get yourself settled and then look at what you can do to help stuff,
Now, the adjoining tour to this record, 14 dates, you're playing some bigger venues, you're playing some smaller venues. Considering the more narrative approach to this record, and that you were almost thinking of it in terms of musical when you were writing it, can audiences expect anything different from seeing the show?
Well, the last tour we did was that anniversary tour, and that was kind of rocking, We presented all the highlights of those three quite upbeat albums. And there are different upbeat moments in this, but there's a lot of reflection as well. So I think it'll be, quite a thing to try. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how we manage it. But it'll be quite a diverse show, and it'll have some beautiful reflective soft moments, as well as some of the more driving kind of themes in it.
Yeah.
Like Auckland Cabaret Fest will be seated. Hanover Hall we're playing in Dunedin. I'm not sure if that's a seated venue or if that's standing. But I think it'll definitely have that wide variety of some of the more softer ballad style things, and then some of the more pointy ended stuff.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the program, sharing some of your creative wealth and introspections with us.
Yeah, thanks, Lily. Nice to talk. And I mean, obviously those topics we're talking about, they're just it's hard to deal to them in a quarter of an hour. But
totally.
Yeah. So definitely stuff to keep thinking about and keep alive.
Incredibly. I always remind people in the program, like, the biggest thing you can do is stay informed, but that doesn't just mean the news. It means you're staying informed about how you feel, the community around you.
Yeah, it's hard not to lose sight of that.
The album Baby Heavyweight, out today. You'll be touring it in July and August, playing Dunedin at Hanover Hall on the 24th of July. Listeners, you can get your tickets from banishedmusic.com. Thank you so much, Delaney.
Hey, you're welcome. You can also grab tickets from my website, and if you can't remember, banished, just DelaneyDavidson.com.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Yeah, no problem, Lily. Have a lovely day.
You too.
Here
is the song Baby Heavyweight off of Delaney's newest album. You're tuned into Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. Thank you.
More of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.